Blog Talk
Hey,
Radio.
Angels. Hey, Angels. It's Victoria. For those who have been following the show, my showtime is now going to be Thursdays at 8 o'clock instead of Wednesdays. So hopefully you all can come and meet me here. If not, don't forget, you can go to www.angelcoaches.org. And that's where you can look at the radio shows that I do and all the other angel coaches. And you can look at the blog. I mean, there's so many good things right there. So you can check that out there. If you can't sign in exactly tonight and listen to it going on live, which is totally fine. Either way, you can come back and listen to it if you loved it. Totally cool. I'm down for that. So today I wanted to talk about what is your soul's plan or your soul's purpose, I should say. I know the previous times that I've spoken, we've had some touchy topics that were a little sensitive, you know, about death and soul planning and, accidents and illnesses. But, you know, knowing that everything happens for a reason, you know, there's also a soul's plan as in, like, what your purpose is on this earth. You know, and most of us, when we're born, we don't remember anything about what planning was going on in the higher self whatsoever. And that's on purpose. We're supposed to really try to figure out what we're supposed to do with our lives as we go along. And, you know, listen to the little nudges and the opportunities that come to us, those chance encounters that you're like, oh, my God, look, this just happened. And it's like perfect. You know, let's say you meet somebody and you never thought you would ever meet them, and they open a door of opportunities, and it's the perfect opportunity for you. So, like, those things are like nudges, and if you take the opportunity, that keeps you on your path, okay? Sometimes we like to not listen to it because, you know, as we grow, we tend to listen to what society deems as correct for us. We think that, you know, when we go through high school, we get good grades, and we aim to get high-paying jobs in professions that pay well. So, you know, people grow to be a doctor or a veterinarian or something like that with just the aim of doing it because that's what you feel is acceptable, you know, or that's what your parents want you to do, but you don't have that driven feeling that it's the perfect match. And that's where we make choices on doing something for ourselves that isn't necessarily on our path and our purpose and our goal, right? But then you're like, how can I figure it out? At 21, when I went to college, I decided to major in industrial safety, right? Because I figured, hey, you know, I'm mechanical. I like mechanical stuff. And I'm like, I like, you know, managing people. So, you know, hey, why not, you know? But it's really, you know, I enjoyed the classes and I enjoyed the degree. I never got to use it because I needed to take an internship in order to get this job, you know, the jobs that I wanted. But I never did it, you know. So I'm like, was that really what I was supposed to do, you know? Like, was that my path? So I struggled with what I wanted to do in my life, my career path, my goals and everything, you know. Oh, like, up until I turned 40, I really and truly had no real idea. You know, I did a lot of retail jobs. I did a lot of management-type positions. I joined the military thinking that's what I wanted because I've always wanted to, and I have a lot of affinities and emotions attached to the military, you know. So I thought, well, that must be the right path. But when I joined the military, as happy as I was, things did not necessarily go as planned for something that was meant to be, right? So I joined the military. I got a good job. And, you know, everything worked out well with joining, right? There was no hiccups or anything. I joined on October 31st, 2001. So it was just after 9/11, but I had started the process prior to the attack. So I was like, perfect, I'm in. This is great. You know, I'm like, this is where it's going to be. I'm going to be a careerist. It's fabulous. And then bit by a tick, and I got sick. So I was just like, how can this be? I was like, this is supposed to be my path. This is what I've wanted to do. This is what I've always wanted to do with my life. I'm like, isn't this what I'm, you know, I was meant to do forever? Like, I really thought this was it. And, you know, it just seemed like there's one downfall after another. you know, I joined the military, I got bit by a tick, so I couldn't get promoted, so I stayed in E4 the whole entire time. You know, I never got the awards I was supposed to because I couldn't take a PT test, and, you know, I didn't get to go on certain TDYs because I was on, you know, the overweight program for 0.01% body fat, you know, like, and I was just like, why am I just getting, it was like I was feeling like I was getting punched. You know, every time I made a move or made a decision, it was just like I got slapped in the face. And I'm just like, what is going on? You know, so I finally got out. I was like, well, maybe the military wasn't the thing for me, you know. I did find out later with working with Drew on past life stuff that I was a military guy in the past. So it could have been just a memory of something that I've done that made me feel a patriotic duty to serve, you know, and that's probably where I wanted to join and do my duty. And I don't regret doing it. I mean, I'm very grateful for the opportunity, but it really wasn't my soul's purpose here, you know? So it's like, how do you figure that out? How do you really figure it out? Like what it is that you are supposed to be doing. So the best way I could describe this for you, you know, is that you take all the things that you love to do, you know, besides like shopping or, you know, stuff like that, but things that you're passionate about, like really passionate, like when you see it, read about it, or think about it, it could be anything. Like, what do you really have passion for? If you took away society's acceptance, money, and anything about, well, like, your family or your friends, whether they would either accept it or approve of it or anything, take all that stuff away. Let's say if you really wanted to sit down and think about what you really need to do, you know, what do you find the most passionate about? That's going to be the first step. So what I did, you know, I thought about it. I'm like, well, you know, I like the idea of cleaning up highways, you know, like where people have like a name for like a quarter mile, I guess it is, that's for you. So you go and you clean it up with from the trash, because I always thought that was a nice idea to give back to nature, right? So like, yeah, let's try that, you know. But it wasn't it, you know, with the guidance, of course, of the tree. But the one thing that resonated me the most was horses. I'm like, shoot, if I saw a horse, everyone else disappears, you know, and my focus is just on that horse. Like, literally. Like, I could be out with my parents walking around, all of a sudden I see a horse, and I'm just like, whoop, I walk away, you know, and I'm just so focused and fixated on that animal, you know, that I just kind of, everything else fades away. I don't hear what people say. I'm just like, I'm just one with them. And then I talk about it. I was like, Tree, you know, there's no way. There's no way. I was like, doing stuff with horses is expensive. I was like, there's no way my salary can afford that. I was like, there's no way. She's like, take a class or try to learn to ride or volunteer. I was like, all right, well, you know what? I trust her tremendously, so I started taking classes. So I was like, you know what, I could do this cheaply, figure it out before I, you know, settle in with anything extra, you know, and try to spend the extra money. Like, I don't want to dive in, like, 2,000%. Let's just start, you know, baby steps. So I started taking. So here I am, spending money. I mean, it's not cheap, but it's not, like, it wasn't ridiculous, but I was spending more than I normally would. So it was, like, $365 at the time for 6 lessons. The original was like for 3 private lessons, it turned out to be like $300. And I was like, oh God, can I spend that money? And I was like, all right, let's just do it. So I did it. I signed up, started taking lessons. And you know what? By the end of the month, I'm like, oh my God, the money's there. Like, I didn't have to worry about not having enough money to do this. So I was like, all right, well then I guess this is working, you know? And of course, you know, because I loved horses since I was small, I mean, good Lord, I'd be that annoying girl in Girl Scouts that signs up to go to these ranches to do trail rides and other assorted activities like archery and all this stuff. I'd be the annoying one being, I want to go to the trail. I want to go to the trail. I want to go ride horses. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm like constantly like, horses, 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 horses. Let me go, let me go, let me go, until I actually do it. I remember I visited my uncle out in Colorado, and I would walk an hour and a half to the stables because my uncle worked in Littleton at this big reservation. So I, of course, was in high school, didn't drive, and he was working during the day, so the only way to get there was to walk. And I literally would walk in summer heat in Colorado down to the barn just to find out if I was possibly able to do a trail ride. And I did that, like, I was there for 3 weeks. I did that almost every other day as much as I could until I actually got a trail ride. It was the most fabulous thing ever. But I was that person. I was that person. So I get on these horses, and it's like all of a sudden all I'm doing is, like, I'm in ecstasy. I'm, like, happy. You know, like, the time just flies by. I'm just having so much fun. And so I was like, all right, this is good. And slowly but surely over time, like over the next 2 months or so, I get better at riding. So I start riding more, and which means I'm spending more money. So I'm riding more often, spending more money, but the money's there. You know, so I'm like, you know what, maybe this is the right path for me. And, you know, through talking with Tari, of course, too, you know, I realized that this path is where my soul's purpose lies, you know, and it's because I have so much joy in what I'm doing with it, that that's where I'm going to be giving back, and I'm going to be helping others feel the same way as I do, especially with people who are sick. So, you know, here I am with Lyme disease, you know, and I started riding, and I was like, I was pretty much on the edge of being, like, healthier, but I was still taking a lot of medicine. I was still having some issues with how I was feeling. I was, you know, before I started riding, I was on the Family Medical Leave Act, FMLA, because I just sometimes I woke up and I had, I called it lava wrists and lava ankles, where they just burned so badly I just couldn't focus, and I'd have to take medicine to stop the pain. So I'd be out of work a lot. And so once I started riding, all that stopped. You know, I started feeling better, you know, and everything just, you know, started to get better for me because I was doing the right thing and not trying to do another, you know, purpose, another path in the wrong direction. That's my dog. She's... Yeah, she's going to be squeaking that. So I started riding. You know, I did a lot of it. And then a year later, I actually found somebody who was giving away a horse for free. And originally, I was just like, yeah, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go tell the barn owner, you know, that runs the school, hey, there's a free horse, you know, two free horses. Do you want me to call them? Because, you know, of course, they're always looking for good horses for the school. So he said, yeah, go check it out. I want the half horse. I'm like, okay, cool. So I go out there with my friend Julie, and we're going, you know, testing out this horse. And then, of course, there's this thoroughbred there. And they're like, hey, you want to try her? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I know that the barn manager isn't really interested in her because he doesn't want to have a thoroughbred at school. But I'll get a free ride out of this. Sure, I'll hop on her. And I fell instantly in love. And I was like, oh, my God, did this horse just truly pick me? I'm like, can I afford this? And, of course, you know, I had the little anxiety of, you know, if this is my right path and I'm supposed to be doing this as my soul's purpose, getting closer to having my own nonprofit and helping others with horses, you know, if it's true, if this is what it's supposed to be like, then everything should work out right. So I should be able to get this horse. I should be able to afford it. And lo and behold, I do get the horse. And guess what? I can afford it. I said things that, you know, the finances worked out. Like, I made decisions, you know, financially that somehow was able to allow me to free up money to be able to pay for things, you know. Or it's very weird how, like, you tend to pay off bills so that you could, you know, go towards more of your passion. So, needless to say, I'm 3 years from starting this riding adventure, and I'm getting closer and closer to helping more and more people with riding and their illnesses. So right now, currently, I do a lot of help at the barn. We do, like, Girl Scouts and birthday parties, and, you know, I'm there helping, educating kids on horses and how to ride. So, you know, I'll have these two kids, these two boys, I remember distinctively, they just were scared out of their gourd about a horse. So the girls too, you know, they have the impression that horses are like dolls, you know, so they're like, they're pretty, they're cool, but they don't realize that they move, they wiggle, they have personality, and it's like, you're a pie. So I was able to teach, you know, a couple of these kids to trust me and to feel the horse and be more at one. So they were able to actually, by the end of the session, they had actually a lot of fun and a lot more confidence and self-esteem that they could do it. And I was like, holy crap, it made me feel super awesome. I'm like, so this is where I'm supposed to be, you know? So when you think about it, think about something that you really, really have passion for. So I have a friend who loves to run. He could run for miles and miles and miles and miles and just love it. Do you know what I mean? So I know I had a conversation with him one time, and he's just like, he's miserable at work. I'm like, where is the person that I know, that vibrancy that you used to have? I'm like, it's like the job is sucking you dry. And he's like, it is. I was like, well, you need to change it. I said, what do you love to do? He's like, I love running. I said, how have you ever thought about coaching? I said, have you ever thought about coaching other people so that they feel good about themselves, that they could run just as, you know, far and as fast and feel the same euphoria that you do when you run? By teaching people how to run properly so that they can have the endurance and the stamina to be able to do these long-distance runs without, you know, dying, you know? Because I know when I run, I feel like I'm going to die. If I can't breathe right, I just lose all form of concentration and I'm done, you know? And that was my biggest, you know, hurdle when I was in the military too. So it's like, if he has that skill and that ability to do that, he could totally spread the wealth. And that's where I believe that's where his purpose should be, you know, and when he's doing that, he feels the best out of it all. So that's the things that when you're trying to think about what your life purpose should be, it should be something that you have a lot of passion for, you know, something that gives back. Something that you feel when you're doing it, like a euphoria, like the planets, the moons, and the stars are aligned in one. You're like, oh, you're like this. You feel great. I mean, you literally feel so good doing it that when you stop, you know, and you have to leave to go home, you get disappointed. You're like, I could do this all day. Is what it is. Now remember, you know, doing your life passion and your purpose is not going to be something, and it could be, don't get me wrong, but it may not be what you're making right now. Do you know what I mean? But I can tell you this much. I make good money with my job that I work with now. You know, I make very good money because I can afford to do the things I do. I don't have as much satisfaction with my job as I would if I worked with horses. So it's just like, would you rather have a job that pays you well, or would you rather have a job that you're happy in? You know, so it's kind of like you have to balance it out in that way too. So don't always try to get the job that's going to be with your passion, you know, and that you feel happy and content and really like with one, with yourself. There's a woman who I know who rides fabulously. I mean, she's a ridiculous rider, and she started a training. So she trains horses. So she'll take the green horses that you can't handle, and she works with them. And that gives her so much satisfaction and so much joy that she makes the money that she does, and it makes her satisfied. I mean, she's not poor, but she's doing what she loves and loves what she's doing. You've heard Therese say that a lot, and Therese is a good example too. She's doing exactly what she loves to do. It gives her such great satisfaction and you know, it brings her joy to help so many people. Do you know what I mean? And that's what her life's purpose is. You know, imagine Therese in a job where she had to sit behind a desk and punch numbers or do something boring. I mean, it just isn't what she's meant to do. So if you're in a job where you're feeling stuck and you feel like you need to go somewhere but you just don't know where, just start to think about the things that you feel most passionate about, things that bring you great joy, and start to figure a way that's going to be where your path will be. And I can tell you this much, if you're aiming to do something that's a little, you know, that's in your soul's purpose, if it's meant to be, everything's going to come together effortlessly. So it's not going to take a huge sacrifice on your end to make things happen. The right people will somehow come into your life to help you with that goal. Do you know what I mean? Or like just from talking to people, well, you know, I might want to get into doing dogs, working with dogs or something like that. And you start telling people and all of a sudden you get this opportunity to work with a rescue. you know what I mean, that you would never have thought you could do. And all of a sudden the people are in front of you. The opportunities come to you and you're like, oh my God, this is where it's supposed to be. Do you know what I mean? And that's where you know that you're on the right path. It's because things become easier to obtain and to reach and to go for when it's in that purpose. Okay, so there's nothing, there's not like, I guess the path in life, people are like, you know, you get on the road of life and you could choose to go straight and do what you think you should do, or you could take a right or left turn off-road. Your off-road experience could be bumpy or your off-road experience could be smooth, but the point is to choose the right path. So if you're path is bumpy and it's not looking like it's doing right and you're just getting hit in the face with a bunch of just issues or problems or roadblocks, then it might not be the right place for you. It might not be the right path. It might be not the right thought process that you should be doing, you know? And so that's where you need to reevaluate and change it. You're like, well, if this isn't what I'm supposed to do, what should I do? And then you go back to thinking, you're like, well, what do I find most passionate about? Okay, I like helping animals. Okay, well, then what can you do to start on that path? And it's not going to be instantaneously where you're going to own a rescue or become a vet, but start working towards it. You know, volunteer periodically or look into learning more about it, and then things will become more clear. And I promise you that you'll start enjoying life better, because we're not meant to be here to be punished, remember, or we're not supposed to be. And we all have a soul plan. So the goal for our spirit guides, as well as, you know, the archangels and everything, is to give us these little nudges. So when something comes to you out of the blue, it's probably there, put in your path for you to see it. So just pay attention more. Don't walk around life with your blinders put on your eyes and just, you know, wake up, go to work, come home, eat dinner, go to bed. And paying attention, you know, quiet your mind so you're not always thinking. Just walk. Listen. You're going to get the nudges to help you get on your right path. They're there. You know, they don't set us up for failure. And the angels, your soul, your higher self, God, the all I am, everything. They don't set you up for failure. They, you know, you do get the challenges that you need on purpose. Remember, we talked about that. But we do have a purpose here to educate, show, and bring people together. So trying to find that path where you start beginning to give what you're meant to be here for is what we should all be striving for. So have faith, guys. Everything is going to work out for everyone. So hopefully tonight's show you'll be able to at least start to think about where your path should be. And I guarantee you, with a little thought, a little nudge in, maybe call to me, or you can schedule an appointment with me, I can help you get through it. But either way, it's there. It's all there. The answers are there. We just have to be open to see it. Okay? So I'm hoping you guys all enjoyed tonight's show, give you a little inspiration. And I look forward to talking to you guys next week, same time, same bat channel, Thursday, 8 p.m. Don't forget to check out www.angelcoaches.org. They have tabs on there, and it's like you can meet all the angel coaches, okay? You have the blog tab where you could sit there and read about the different blogs. Right now, there's quite a few that I put on. I usually will blog a summary of the shows or expand a little bit on the shows I've done. You have the radio show tab where you can see all the downloads for the shows that have happened previously, as well as the one like right now currently going on. You can set up appointments. There's products and services. You have the newsletter. And, of course, I like the meeting our coaches tab, because then you get to see pictures of everybody and know that, you know what, we're all human and normal people just like you. We just happen to have groomed our intuitive self a little bit and are able to share it. Okay? So I hope you have a great night, and I look forward to talking to you guys all tomorrow. Or not tomorrow, Thursday. Okay? So take care, guys, and have a great now. Bye.